Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it, baby, you found it. I sure am glad you did. Today is a very cool day. Cool show, I should say. It's a good day, too, but it's a very cool show. We've got sci-fi author. Well, she actually does a lot. Not only is she an author, Miss Ellie Maloney. She also has a magazine. She's sponsoring a film festival in Chicago coming up here in like a month. And she's got all kinds of stuff she does, man. All kinds of stuff. Very fascinating person. And I was, she's in Albania. I'm in South Florida. But I was able to sit down with her via Skype the other day. And we just had a fantastic conversation. We're going to get to that. And we're going to talk about her new book, 329 Years Awake, which is coming out here in about a month. And we're going to get all of that. To that, I'm going to have the whole interview for you in just a second here, but first we're going to start the show out. There's a fantastic musician, Mr. Falcon. He did some just very, very cool music for 329 Years Awake, and it's out of sight, man. Instrumental stuff, very sci-fi, gets you in that mood, and we're going to start the show out with a track of his called the... what is this called? It's called The Great Cosmic Chill. And here it is. Following that, the interview will start. So enjoy, sit back, and enjoy the podcast. Oh, Man, what a fantastic track. That's Mr. Falcon, the Great Cosmic Chill. I dig that, baby. I dig that. Okay, we're going to start the interview with Mrs. Ellie Maloney. Here it is. Enjoy.
Hi, Jamie. Good to be on your show.
Hi, Ellie. How are you doing? How is Albania tonight?
Albania tonight is pretty hot. It's been an incredibly hot summer. So, it's a great place. So anybody who likes seafood and the ocean, the sea, or the Europe, proximity to Italy, Italian cuisine, it's a pretty cool place.
Nice.
Cool place to go. Yep.
Nice. Now you've got kind of an interesting story. We've got a lot to talk about today, and which we will get to. We will do. Let's start out in sections, though. First off, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're an author, but used to be an attorney, or do you still do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. That's actually where my money comes from, from me and from my husband. We are kind of in legal education field. I am a lawyer by my background, and I do some training on human rights related issues. But that being said, for the past 5-ish years, I've been writing, and for the past 2 years, I've been really serious about this whole writing business because I'm a huge science fiction fan, and I don't think I could like quite suppress that part of me, you know. Being a lawyer is great. Helping people, educate them on various issues is fantastic. It pays the bills, but I am like you. I'm an artist, you know. When you're an artist, you just cannot shove it into the closet, you know. You gotta. I hear you.
I wish there was less work for you to do on the law side, on human rights and whatnot. It's a crazy world we live in with everything going on. But it must be nice, you know, as an artist to kind of create new worlds and new happenings and the like.
Right. And I think, you know, this is where my passion for justice kind of kicks in, because when I write, I often write not so much revisionist history, but I try to create sometimes maybe a little bit of a better future, like jumping a little bit ahead. But this is kind of relevant to what we're talking about. Like, I used to live in Liberia, okay, and for some time, and it's an extremely poor country. So when I started writing my book, actually, in Liberia, I just kind of was so fed up by so many injustices and oppressions that plague these people. So basically, in my book, I flipped the entire world order, and I said, so now the center of human civilization is in West Africa, and they get to live on Earth and enjoy the ocean and eat the food that comes from the ground, and everybody goes to live into cramped space stations. So, you know, this is human rights activist part of me kicking in. So,
well, you know, if we don't get a handle on this climate issues and whatnot, that may not be far from what happens.
I'm really big on this. The climate change, this is a real thing. Like you said, I'm here in Albania, and I have a dog. I have a 5-year-old Newfoundland, and his genes are from Canada, okay? And he swims in ice water, and he loves sleeping in snow, and, like, this summer is just killing him. I've never had an indoor dog. He always used to be in the yard, and this whole summer he's inside and like just chilling under the air conditioner.
Right.
It's unbearable.
You know, and it's strange. Everyone I talk to, no matter where they are on the planet, they say a similar thing. They're like, you know, it's different than I remember or than I've seen. And You know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And I'm surprised that there's people, well, maybe there isn't so many people. Maybe it's only, you know, over here in the States, a certain sect of society that is ignoring it. You know, I mean, it seems, you know, pretty obvious to me, but what do I know? You know, I'm just a painter. I'm just a painter. Yeah. It's frustrating, though.
You know, if any more of those glaciers break off and, you know, and we all, like Al Gore was saying that he'd been to the coastal cities and fish is swimming on the streets because it's a rainy day or something like that, and then it spills over, you know. So, yeah, I think we're not in such a distant future to, unfortunately, see some pretty bad...
Well, I'm telling you here, I'm in South Florida, and, you know, it's funny, we just bought a house, me and my girlfriend, last year, and I, before spending that type of money, I, you know, had to look at all the geological maps and whatnot, just to make sure we were, I'm a 10-minute walk from the ocean, but we're up a little higher, so I figure I'll be okay till, you know, 2027 or something.
No, indeed, is your house going to stay? I mean, you know, I know insurance and all, but like,
oh, you want to keep your house. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So you have a new book coming out, and it's fantastic from what I've seen so far of it with the teasers and whatnot. 329 Years Awake. Can you give us a brief kind of synopsis of it or what vein it lies in?
Yeah, I know you can't really show me to the audience, but I'm holding this right now in my hands. Mm. This is it. This is like pretty special to me. It's not out yet, but this is the my copy that's going to hit the shelves on October 8th. And
nice.
I'm super excited about this. Okay, so humans have a powerful gift in my story. They can change reality by the power of consciousness. But the trick is they don't know about that. This ability is going to kick in us as species as we develop evolutionary. So far, we just experience all sorts of side effects like cancers, diseases, from this ability, because we are like in growing pains as a race, as species. And an alien race called Unkari are observing and kind of manipulating and tweaking the whole Earth virtually as a lab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of like they're doing this research, staying in shadows, and they are really into being able to use this ability. This ability that they lack. And they're absolutely scared of it. And in their echelons, these aliens kind of debating between to destroy us or to like enslave us or to somehow figure out how to harvest this ability. So, but they don't stay in shadows for too long. And when they decide to come out and make a contact, and it's quite pompous and makes a huge deal. It's a big public showing first contact, and this is where my story starts.
Wow, it sounds fantastic! It sounds fantastic. What a world! What a vivid world, and you've created there. I'm a big science fiction person too. I'm a sci-fi nut, and you know, I want to read it. I want to read it. Now you say it's coming out October 8th.
October 8th. Yep. Check out your Amazons, and the cool thing is. You can sign up to my newsletter and you're going to get it absolutely for free. So,
nice.
And I am really, really into giving a lot of paperbacks as well. So among my newsletter subscribers, a lot of them, I'm going to have some random people will be able to get a lot of hard copies. And if you go to... Jalapeno Publishing and just find the writers, jalapenopublishing.com, mm-hmm. and find the Ellie Maloney, you'll see the sign-up form. So
Right. There's also a link I'm seeing on your elliemaloney.com webpage, or WordPress page, I should say, as well. And there you have it, folks. I would definitely. Ellie does a lot of stuff. So definitely sign up for the email list, and that way you can keep, you know, follow her on Twitter and Facebook, and well, she's even on Google Plus.
You can find this woman about every platform, Twitter, Facebook, and like you everywhere. It's either a pinned post or tweet or a sign up button. You'll see this. It's the same form everywhere. So go ahead, sign up, get your free copy on October 8th.
Nice.
Potentially get a copy.
Nice.
I'll be super thrilled.
Now, let me ask you, when you were a young lady, a girl, were you into science fiction also then as well?
Yeah, you know, I think I attempted writing my first sci-fi novel that kind of was like eerily resembling Bradbury and stuff, you know?
Uh-huh, okay. Some of the classic stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of a Bradbury fan fiction, you could say. But it was like, I think it was about 13, 12 and or something like that. And I had this huge like notebook, like paper notebook, where I hand wrote this. But the you know, everybody who knows me, there is this funny story that it was a love interest involved and I got really upset and emotions kicked in. And so I threw it into the fire. So that manuscript burned. But from those ashes, hopefully comes something better, you know. Yeah, I was absolutely. As long as I remember, sci-fi is a huge thing for me.
Nice, nice. Now, I have to ask, is there, you mentioned your pooch, your puppy, your dog. Is there a dog in the story as well? Or is one of the characters a pet?
You know, I deliberately tried not to write a puppy in this story because I have another manuscript that's going to come up right after this book. It's a whole different story.
Oh.
And a Newfoundland dog is in that story. So I knew I have this another story coming up, and I'm like, well, I cannot put my dog in every story. That would be a bit too much. So...
Outstanding. Now, did you, is it a male or a female dog, your dog?
Male.
Did you get him from a breeder or a pet store or something? How did you two meet?
Yeah, so he traveled to me on a train.
Nice.
So this, I saw an ad that this woman, she was a breeder.
Uh-huh.
She got a job in a different country, and she had this litter of puppies, and she was had to like sell them super fast. But I was looking for a dog, and they were like super expensive. I mean, Newfies are they can go like they can start bow going way up. So and I saw this ad, and like all the papers checked out, and she was like, "This is a hot deal. This thing is like selling." And there was like a first litter of her dog. She has a like a girl in her house. And it was the first litter of the puppies. And so she had to like, you know, go. She had to go.
Right.
And she had to. So I got a fancy deal. And so she was sending two puppies in my city over on the train because she was from a different city. And there were two puppies with in the box. And
mm-hmm.
I had like a split second decision to choose which one, you know, and like my dog, he just like bolted after me. I mean, he was a lot of me, like, and you know, like when they're like 8 weeks old, they're already enormous.
Right.
Like they are already heavy to lift, you know? And so this huge pooch, you know, she's just all over me. I'm like, okay, that's love. This one.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
Yep. I never read one single day. It was just like love, and learning, and just such an amazing experience. It's my first dog, my first personal dog. So it's like it's a fur child. It's
fancy. I hear you. I understand. My girlfriend's sister just also bought a house. Her and her fellow about a month ago. And they got a husky, and we went over to visit and see their house, and the husky just stayed in my girlfriend's lap the entire time. And we have a giant backyard that's all fenced and everything, and I'm like, yeah, I see a dog in our future. This will probably happen. Yep. Oh, man.
I gotta tell me and my husband, we travel a lot, but every country that we go into, when we look for the house, it's like the first thing on the list, a yard, and we have a big dog, and we do not negotiate on that one. Requirement.
Outstanding.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive digital microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh.
He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget, and, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
Now, I want to bring up, I want to shift gears a little bit. In addition to being, you know, a cool sci-fi author, you're also a cool magazine publisher. Tell us a little bit about Scaffolding Magazine.
Oh, yeah. That's a passion project of mine. It's started somewhat last year. It's pretty new. It's in infancy, you know, like to kickstart a magazine. It's a lot of work. But we have our first issue, I'm going to be coming up with 2 more issues this year.
Nice.
So this is magazine. So basically the idea was, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm coming up, up and coming author. I know no one. This industry is so packed, you know, it's very difficult to get noticed and to get anywhere or anything. So I decided, how about I make a magazine for independent writers and make it like as liberal as possible, and I'm accessible, and you always can Facebook message me and, you know, ask about submissions and all of that stuff. And let's make a magazine together. And for the first submission call I made, like I've got tons of artists who provided their artwork to the magazine, tons of science fiction stories. There's a lot of fiction, mostly. It's a literary magazine.
Nice.
But you can go to, I have a Patreon page for it. You can go, there's like tons of videos if you, yeah, you can of course sponsor the magazine, that's all fine, but you also, that's where you can get like tons of videos and references and just check out stuff.
That's so
Patreon.com/scaffoldingmag.
Outstanding. We'll have a link up on our show page for that as well. I, you know, Ellie, I love your business plan. It's it reminds me of one I have, that sometimes it's just easier to do things yourself. When I was a kid, I remember this was a million years ago, and I had a friend of mine who was also a painter, and he said, hey, I know this guy who owns a coffee shop. Let's do a bunch of paintings. We'll put them in the coffee shop. So we did. We worked for about a month and a half. Turns out he didn't know the guy as well as he thought he did. And so we, at the end, had all these paintings and nowhere to put them. And like you, I said, I'm just going to open my own coffee shop. How hard could it be? Other people have done it. And
yeah,
I didn't know anything about coffee shops or anything. I just needed wall space for these paintings. I guess I could have opened a gallery. I was young. I didn't think that far ahead. But that was my first business. Had that for a while. Worked out real well.
This is did you just copy my life?
You just have to do it. And I think that's what sets it apart, you know, because a lot of people just don't. We live in an age, though, which is fascinating. Now, here you are as an author. And you can self-publish, you can self-distribute, and then create a venue, but with a magazine, not only helping yourself, but helping other people get their words out as well. My hat goes off to you. That's incredibly impressive.
You know, the best thing about this whole scaffolding business is, let me just tell you the idea. So, you know, like we all know Sagrada Familia in Spain just experienced, was a lot in the news because of the terrorist attack. But I visited Spain about a year ago, and I saw the Sagrada Familia, this beautiful church in scaffolding, you know, and so kind of that's where the idea came from. It's, I think of scaffolding as scaffolding around a human being, around an artist, the support system, you know, that's why the name is. So we don't build buildings, but we build people, build up people. And I've made so many incredible connections, and this has been a fantastic networking opportunity. You know, like when I do scaffolding, I don't isolate people.
Right.
I build networks. You know, I create like Facebook groups. And I kind of get to know everybody a little bit. And when some scum comes up, and it's like, hey, I know who's good for that stuff. You know, and I've been doing these references like ever since, you know. That being said, magazine business is not easy. And like, I'm just like you. How about I open a magazine? Do I know anything about magazines? Well, we'll figure it out. So I'm being absolutely honest. And I've been honest about this since the beginning. I know nothing about magazines, but I know like hell of a lot more than I used to when I started. So
well, from I'm again over on your Ellie Maloney site right now, and I'm looking at some of the images and whatnot. It's fantastic. This is very, very cool looking. I'm very excited about it. It's it's just, you're very inspiring, Ellie. You're very inspiring. I don't know if a lot of people tell you that or not, but I certainly am inspired by you.
Thanks. Oh my God.
You don't sleep in a lot. See, some mornings I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it today. I don't want to do it. I just want to be lazy. And now you're one of the people.
My life. And then I get coffee and then somehow I get going.
Exactly. Get that one, knock that one domino and then the next and then the next. And that's what you got to do.
Much.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, that's cool. Now, with Jalapeno Publishing, is that just for the magazine or the book as well? Or that's another hat you wear.
Yeah, Jalapeno Publishing. So how about that? Since I wanted, with this first book, I wanted to learn publishing. I wanted to understand publishing before going into the publishers. I wanted to see, you know, that's like totally backwards. People do not try to do this at home, okay? This is the wrong way to do this. But this is how my brain works. Maybe backwards, maybe complicated, but okay. So Jalapeno Publishing currently publishes Scaffolding Magazine. It publishes Aaron Erickson, a poet. We have published last year his book of poetry. It's pretty deep stuff. It's deep stuff. It's talks about oppression in the world, and it's kind of a literary poetry book. And the my book is coming up, and I'm looking. You know, I've been talking to some guys about publishing their stuff, but I'm like, and I'm always telling to them, you know what? Give me some time. Let me figure out this publishing business. Let me try on myself first, because I cannot take responsibility for somebody's manuscript. I know just how much work that is. Let alone I'm taking responsibilities for the short stories that go to my magazine. That's enough for now. But in the future, I'm seeing, yes, publishing full-length manuscripts as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now you're going to get a bunch of emails. I predict this. You're going to get a bunch of emails. And
well, and send those emails. They are all very welcome. There's in Jalapeno Publishing. We accept submissions all the time. That's where they should go. Stories to the magazine. Absolutely. I'm very open to that.
Fantastic. I'm just so impressed with all you do. I was, you know, getting ready for the show. I have to tell you, Ellie, I got your media packet. No, I sent you a little link that we send everybody, basically, that we'd set up just because a lot of people didn't know how to submit stuff. And yours is the most thorough, fantastic media package I have ever seen. You should teach a class on how to put that together. It is fantastic. I mean, I was blown away by it. And,
it's
you know.
It's just simple file management. It's a lot of old stuff.
Well, it was... I was like, finally, someone in the world knows what I'm talking about. This is very, very good. And just so creative. I love all of the press photos that you sent over. Just a style, very stylish and just very creative. I was blown away by all that. Good stuff. Now, in addition to all of, publishing and books and magazines and all of this, I guess you said, well, I've got some free time. I don't have, Wednesdays are open or something. let me help out with a film festival in Chicago. How did that happen?
That was such an exciting project that I got myself into. It kind of keeps me jazzed all the time. I've met this wonderful woman, the head of the Nebula Creatives. It's an L3C film company in Chicago, and they organize this film festival. Rujani, hi. I love you. You're awesome. So we met over Twitter. You know, that's how modern-day business relationships go, believe
it or
not.
Absolutely. That's how we met.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. There we go. Twitter works, you know. So she was launching her comic book, because she's also a creative person, a filmmaker, and she has a story she wants to tell. It's science fiction. So, I mean, we kind of had so much overlap. We kind of couldn't, like, shut up talking about stuff. And this is the fifth year that she's doing this film festival with her team. This is a film festival for short films, and get a load of this. It also comes from their passion to help independent filmmakers to showcase their work and everything. So, from that mentality, you know, we have a lot in common. So this year on the film festival, that is, by the way, will be on October 8th. And if you're in Chicago, please come, because I will be there. I currently most of the time live and work abroad, I don't go to the United States like all that often. So I'm making those visits count. And if you want to stop by, I'm going to be doing some of my book launches there as well. So that's why October 8th, it's paralleled with the film festival. So the film festival will be featuring in a beautiful music box theater. It's a landmark Chicago architectural and historic landmark. very prestigious scene. It's a red carpet event. It's all the hoopla, Oscar-ish stuff. It's my first film festival that I'm involved with, but I'm like totally thrilled about this. There will be a film screening, an after party, hang out with creative people, every possible reason to show up.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, submissions are closed already, but you can keep an eye on it for the next year, creatives. This year, because of partnering with Scaffolding, we added another award nomination for the short screenplay. So the Scaffolding Magazine is sponsoring that award.
Very cool. I'm going to tell you, a couple years ago, well, gosh, it's been about 10 now, I did some work for, they got a hold of me, the San Diego Film Festival. I was living out there and they got a hold of me and said, hey, can you, paint some people here? And I said, of course, absolutely. I'll paint a fence post if the check clears, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter to me. But more importantly than that, and I suggest anybody going, go to as many film festivals as you can, folks, and definitely go to this one and spend the $20 or $30 to get yourself 1,000 business cards printed up and pass them out. You'll never find a better place to network. And you could say to yourself, well, I don't make movies. Shut up. Doesn't matter. You want to know those people. And you'd never know when projects happen and when they might need whatever it is you do. And you might need them. It's just a fantastic, these are fantastic networking opportunities. You meet a lot of just great people. And it's cool to hang around with creative people. It gets your juices going, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because, I'm just dipping my toes into this industry, sort of. But I've already worked with actors. And, like, what am I doing? I'm writing a book. But I'm working with voice actors, you know? And that's been, like, amazing experience. And voice actors are also sometimes actors, sometimes not. A writer needs a book trailer, okay? So you can make something that is kind of like embarrassing to look at and will actually turn people off of your book, mm-hmm. Or you can boost your chances for success. And so that's why you perhaps need networking with the filmmakers. Or, you never know who, that elevator pitch can happen. Absolutely possible. So
it's very true. I sent a friend of mine who was in a little, he was in a garage band and, made house music and this and that. And he was a DJ, played a lot of clubs, and that was great and made a little bit of money doing that. But I sent him to some film festival. I think it was in Long Beach or somewhere in Los Angeles. And, absolutely. He was having a drink at the bar. They always have, little lounges and stuff. And started talking to somebody. And that guy called him up 8 months later and said, hey, I'm making this film. Have you ever done any film work with your music? And he's like, no, but what do I need to do? And they kind of talked. And next thing you know, he called me and he said, I owe you big time. I just made $25,000. Doing this work for this fella, and that wouldn't have happened before. I was like, congratulations. That's good.
I think 10% cut, right?
Yeah, I said, I got some fantastic paintings for you here. No, I'm kidding. But it's cool.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rock and reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. I just wanted to give you a quick reminder. When you order from Metal Babe Mayhem, do yourself a favor. This is pretty cool. When you check out, there's a little space there. Pop in my code. Put in my code POPROCKS. POPROXX. That's my code POPROCKS. And what it does is get 20% off your whole order. 20%, baby. How about that? Save some money. Pretty, pretty cool. Yeah, so use my code at Metal Babe Mayhem. POPROCKS. You'll save some money, and that's a good thing. Okay, now back to the show.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
ROCKS Gear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
One of the things you mentioned, and I just love, and I've only seen it done a few times, I know lots of people, especially in this day and age, that try to write something, and they and that's great, and they might write something fantastic. They don't market it. They don't know about branding. They don't know about getting the word out for people. You know, they don't do shows like this. They don't make video trailers. Brilliant, brilliant, because people can listen and see some of the visuals with that. And I love yours. I love yours. And it's very professional.
Thank you. I think this, my extension of being an artist, somehow I managed to find artistic satisfaction even in marketing, because otherwise I hate marketing. Everybody hates marketing, you know. I don't want to be like just like going around putting myself before people who don't want to hear from me, you know. So I'm trying to make it at least entertaining as much as I can, and I don't know, hopefully it works.
I think you're doing a fantastic job. It's very cool, and it's smart, and it gives people, you know, I have a lot of film people and musicians on this show. Usually we're trying to get more writers and authors and whatnot. But, you know, when I do the marketing for the episode, I like to include a video. Like if you're in a band, we'll put the little web flyer up. And I like to have a little video in the comp so people can hear or see what you're about. And with authors, sometimes that's hard to do because they don't have them. With Ellie, it wasn't. She had it. It wasn't a problem.
Yeah, you know, I've been accumulating, I call them assets, okay? Mm. All these things, all these thumbnails, all these images, pictures and whatnot, you know, and I would tweet something or post something and then I would save it, you know. I'm such a hoarder, you know. But like you say, at the end, I have something to give people to help them help me by promoting me. So it didn't happen overnight. It's been for roughly 2 years of So, you know, once I put it into my mind, okay, I'm going to dedicate a substantial amount of my time to writing something. I just saw this black hole of the Amazon books that I never read.
Right.
And it's just like such a deterrent for me. No, I'm going to keep doing this because this is otherwise a ridiculous waste of time.
No, and, I hear you. Now I want to ask you, because you had mentioned you guys travel a lot, and with your respective works and whatnot, I can only imagine. Best place, worst place you've been in your travels?
Right now I'm pretty happy where I am.
Albania's it.
Albania, yeah, great climate, great food, great culture.
Fashion.
Yeah, fashion, tons of Italian shoes and clothes. And oh my God, I'm such a shoe hoarder.
My girl is as well. She loves getting them. She hates wearing them. I don't know what first thing she does when she gets home, takes her shoes. I'm like, we have an entire room full of your shoes. And she's like,
yep, that's where they belong. That's where they belong.
Exactly. She goes, I just like to look at them.
I should like get over someday over like and just like talk about our shoes. Each other for a tour. that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, she's lately this her latest project. She does. I don't know if they do a lot of this over in Europe. I suspect they do. She's into this cosplaying. She dresses up in as character video game characters I've never heard of, and they go to conventions. She's got a whole group of girlfriends that they all that's their thing. And she gives a lot of lectures at these on she's a curvy girl, a tall curvy girl, and she gives a lot of lectures on body positivity and women's rights and kind of that whole thing. And she's getting ready to start a podcast about it. So she's asking the last couple of weeks, every conversation we've had, she picks my brain, and that's fine. I think that's good. You know, it's
You know, that's awesome, though. I've been on some kind of a wellness trip myself, and I also think it's kind of a body positive thing because I was doing what works for me, okay?
Right.
So everybody should do what works for them. And if I know that if I go to the gym helps me being mentally together person, which otherwise, I'm a mental basket case. That's my wellness way of being, but it is absolutely the wrong way to kind of enforce my way of being on other people. I'm absolutely not into that, and plus it just won't work. Why ruin somebody's life? You know, just be friends with them. You know,
exactly. Now, in your travels, you've been around, and you were saying that you love Albania. What area have you traveled to that you were surprised at, either positively or negatively?
I have never experienced culture shock probably until I visited Liberia. And I'm really hoping people hear me right on this one, because I've been to different countries, but that level of just heartbreaking poverty, like absolute poverty, you know, like people think of poverty like, and I've had this conversation about poverty with people who are well off, and they say like, oh, I cannot afford this like third car in the family. And I'm like, well, okay. You know,
these people can't afford a light bulb. Yeah.
They don't have light bulbs to put in.
Right.
They don't have electricity. They don't have running water. They're like amenities in the woods, you know. The girls, 70 to 80% of the girls do not go like something above like third grade school. It's devastating for me, for a person like who is raised into just the awareness of how important it is, education for you. So, like, I don't think, like, for me ever, getting education, whatever education, was as I was growing up, was never even any sort of a like a choice to opt out, because I know what parents do to me. They would be just, you know,
right,
like oh, I'm gonna take off with the band and never, you know, that was just like not in my family. It was just not an option. I just realized that people do that way later in life. I just kind of didn't quite. I might have if I realized that I could do that, but I didn't. So I stuck it out. But when I saw these girls who just have no money for textbooks, and corruption is so pervasive in education system, and just bribery, and the level of education is so atrocious. And I was talking to this one girl in Liberia. She was about my age. She was in her early 30s, and she was finishing what grade she was, like ninth grade. So it like takes her years to finish the school, and she doesn't know if she wants to even finish the school. But we were talking about this film. Once a sci-fi film about, what did they give her? The Martian or something? No, the trip to the Venus, some kind of sci-fi film about Venus. And okay. So she kind of talked about this in her school with her professor of like mathematics or something. And she comes back and tells me the story how the professor told her that, yeah, this is exactly what happened when our people landed on Venus. There was these disasters happened.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's like, this is what they're getting in school. And right. I was like, okay, that put things to me in perspective. And even, education part, the nutrition is absolutely, you know, people's nutrition consists of rice for the most part, and you know, some meat. Meat is not a daily occurrence thing.
Right.
They like very spicy food. So this like really super spicy hot pepper that they put on rice, and that's the meal. You know, the palm oil, chili pepper kind of mix, and rice. And
and these are children and adults eating this.
Yeah. And you know, just a forgotten country by oligarchs, but people by the world community. And I don't know what can possibly be done, because this country has riches, amazing riches. It is the best place to grow rubber trees,
mm-hmm.
for rubber plantations. It has absolutely the best climate for it, but the corruption is set up this way that people, it doesn't trickle down to people at all. They
right.
just kind of basically indentured servitude / modern day slavery situation, which they work, they get not paid, and they are like restricted to the areas of living that is like, the roads are abysmal. I mean, you can't get around anywhere fast. So kids cannot go to school anywhere outside of these plantation communities, living communities. And yeah, they
right.
kind of say that.
And medicine can't get to people. I mean, it's 2017, and these places exist, and there's no reason that they should. You know, we can handle it. It's just people don't, and it's.
You know, I felt like I was a cause of the problem somehow. I felt like the entire over a year I lived there, I felt like extremely guilty, because there are a few restaurants and there are a few hotels for rich people and for expats. And you go there, and the prices are outrageous. Oh my God! And you go there just because there is no else where to go. I mean, there is just absolutely. So you just go there, and you just like kind of hate how you're being this rich, spoiled brat. I mean,
right.
quote unquote. That's how you feel. That's how you feel on a daily basis, because you come in contact with people who have so much less. It's not even you can't even put it into perspective.
Well, you know, it's you hit the nail on the head. It's all education, you know, and if we can, hopefully the internet and the interwebs and things will bring people. I always hear I've hear heard this where people think this is a positive thing and a negative. They're like, well, the world's very small now. And I'm like, well, maybe that's good because people will learn about Liberia and places such as that on the planet. And you never know. You never know. The next Beethoven could be from Liberia. You don't know. It's
We just don't know about them. You know, they're there. I mean, with what little they do, they're kind of artistic culture. They paint. They create amazing art. But you know, it's not like
right.
You know, I feel like everybody there is exploited. It's like a ridiculous circle of exploitation.
I've never been anywhere where I've seen that level of poverty. I traveled to Southeast Asia a few years ago, just because I had always wanted to, and at the time I had the means to and whatnot. And I thought, well, I was coming out of a long relationship, and I said, well, this will be a fun trip. And so I spent a month over in Asia, and I experienced culture shock. Totally was not used to just from the sheer volume of people that were mm-hmm. I was around. I'd never been around that many people constantly, as in Tokyo, Japan, and Hong Kong, places like that. So I hear you. I hear the culture. But you know, the cool thing, I've never met a real, you know, how you'll, especially today, you'll see closed-minded people on the internet and whatnot. I've never met one that was well-traveled. I think traveling and seeing other mm-hmm. cultures opens the mind. And, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, let me ask you with your dog. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is travel difficult with your dog? I know, even here in the States, man, I moved across the country one time with a cat, and I had to get, you know, 14 pages of forms just to put on the airplane. I can only imagine going from country to country with a big animal like that.
Well, to put it simply, it is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
That being said, I recently took a train tour over, okay, let me see if I can recite, Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, Greece, to get to Albania. So
wow.
This was the train route that I took. And because he doesn't fly, we didn't take him to Africa because he couldn't be there. It's too hot. This Albania is too hot for him, but that was just impossible. And plus, the disease and all sorts of regulations, post-Ebola, you know, I never wanted my pet to be arrested somewhere, you know, not being able to take him out. Long story short. So I took this trip, me and him, a backpack, and my dog. And so 4 days of trains, and I live-streamed it on Facebook. And it kind of went from bad to worse. And every time I live stream, I got to the point where I live stream in tears in a Greek train because they put me in a closet that had no air circulation. It was completely hot and ridiculous. And they said, like, this is where we're going to lock up your dog. And I'm like, I have all these, like, tickets to buy out the whole compartment. And it's like, no, they didn't tell you in the other country that we won't let you in, into the passenger compartment. This is where you go. This is where we keep pets. And this is where you keep trash. That's not where you keep pets. You know, that's your garbage bin. That's your trash bags over there. I can see your brooms. I don't see any air going on over here. And I am sure as hell not leaving my dog alone there because several hours of train riding there.
Right.
He is dead, probably, without water and everything. So I stayed him, like, on the floor, on the dirty floor. It's, like, completely weird, totally, like, okay. So I totally had a pity party on myself at that moment. And so I ended up having this huge crowd of people who were like, oh, we are so sorry that you experienced. But just not adapted.
Right. You're a good mom. You're a good mom.
Yeah.
That's good.
I took that trip main reason because, you know, I didn't want, like, okay, I'm thinking, okay, this is Europe. If we need to take him to the U.S., I'll think about flying. But
right.
So far, we can avoid that part. So we're going to do the trains, okay? So I thought, okay, this is good. And I did that before. This was my third train trip like that with him, like across Europe. So this one was by far the worst. It's not easy.
Well, I hope the future ones will be better, and they probably will. You know, your book's going to sell a million copies, and you'll have your private jet, and, you know, it'll all be wonderful. Or your private train, as the case may be. Well, that's fantastic.
Can I give a shout out to one of my friends that I
oh, absolutely.
Like, forgot to mention, and it's like...
Absolutely.
This is the guy who came out with his debut album, and he's such a sport, he gave me the whole album so I can put it into my audio book, and I just have to give him shout out because his album just went on sale on Amazon and iTunes and whatnot, and it's Music in Space Time. It's such an electronic sci-fi stuff.
Nice.
And by Mr. Falcon, and I would really like, you know, it's part of me that likes to help people, but I end up like getting really cool stuff for that as well. So
right.
The partnership is super amazing, and I would you listeners to maybe give it a try because he's a super cool guy, and this is his debut album, and he has amazing causes. Maybe hopefully. He'll speak about them as well in the future, but trust me, this is an amazing person who deserves a break in life.
Absolutely. So. Well, that's fantastic. Ellie, I think, as you know, I'm sure you are aware with Skype, our Skype connection is starting to fade. I don't know if satellites are out of sync or what's happening, but we've had a good run. We've almost had an hour here, so that's, for Skype, that's fantastic.
I really appreciate you taking time talking to me. I had a blast, and
I can't wait for the next time we have you on,
thank you.
Which will be very soon. You've got so much happening. Yeah, absolutely. And you're my favorite person in Albania right now. I love it.
Okay.
Nice. Cool. Ellie, keep doing what you're doing. You're super good at it. I am so inspired, and so great to meet you. What a fantastic interview. I told you, just a very neat person. That's going to do it for us today. Hey, though, this will be, you know, this is a podcast, and it'll be pushed out on all the various social media platforms. Well, we'll even be on Tumblr. How about that? Pinterest, too. And even up for free on iTunes. If you are listening to the show in the future on iTunes, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. It doesn't cost you anything, and it keeps us up at the top of the page. And that's, you know, that's where we like to be, and our advertisers like it there, and it's just wonderful. And they're happy, I'm happy, everybody's happy. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. We're going to end the show with another track, another fantastic track, by Mr. Falcon. You know, we started the show with one. And this is called 329 Years Awake. I think you guys will really like it. And we will see you next time. Enjoy, be safe, and, you know, I want you all to keep doing what you're doing. Awesome. See you next time. Thank you.
Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Talk Radio Show has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks for Pop Rocks Limited, recorded at Deerfield Beach in South Florida for broadcast at Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.